June 2nd, 2008. It's the Lullabot Podcast.
Lullabot Podcast.
It's episode number 59 of the Lullabot Drupal Podcast. We get together every couple of weeks and talk about Drupal, the content management system and web application framework you love to love. It also helps keep your teeth white and your lawn green.
Nice.
You like that?
Nice.
I'm still working on it. I'm Jeff Robbins, and I'm here with
Andrew Byron
and
Addie Berry,
as well as
James Ransom Walker.
Ah, the ransom.
Yes.
Did they have to pay ransom to get you out of the hospital?
That's the best we can do. I'm sorry, James. We can't come up with any better pun.
Goodness, people.
So this week on the podcast, we're going to talk about simple test. It's not very simple, but it is.
It's a test.
It's a test. It's definitely testing. And we will explain what it is and why you should care a little bit later. But let's see. Let's catch up with some news and a little, you know, shall we call it an advertisement? Shall we call it an announcement? Should we call it a reminder? Let's call it a reminder. Lullabot Workshops coming up. Toronto, Ontario, Canada, home of James Ransom Walker, happening June 9th through the 13th. Coming right up. If you're listening to the podcast shortly after it comes out, go sign up, get there. Still time to get in. Otherwise, maybe you missed it. We're doing two workshops that week, correct, James?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're doing one that we haven't done in a while, our Drupal Intensive, so which is basically everything you need to know about Drupal outside of the code. And then we have the Drupal API. And also up on lullabot.com/training right now, we've got Providence, Rhode Island workshops coming up in July.
July 7th through the 11th. Yeah. That's correct. The Drupal Intensive there again, an awesome workshop. And theming and jQuery. Again, lullabot.com/training. And also you can always get on the Lullabot mailing list at lullabot.com, and we will let you know when there are others coming up. We might also let you know about the Lullabot DVD series, the Lullabot Learning Series, I think it's going to be called, that we're working on a DVD. The first DVD is called Understanding Drupal, and we've gotten a lot of people coming and asking us about it because it's been on the homepage announcing that it was coming up sooner than it actually has been. It's been delayed a little bit because we're just adding extra awesomeness. But we just want to let everybody know that it's still coming up. Get on the mailing list for that one as well. That one definitely sometime next month, but we'll just say sometime next month for now. And everyone can know that it's still coming together. We're just adding extra awesomeness.
It's in the awesome factory.
It's yeah. Yes. Should we add another coat of awesomeness? Yes. There can never be too much awesomeness. So it's going to have, I understand 18 coats of awesomeness, just layered up and polished. It's a polishing, there's a one coat of awesomeness and then a polishing, they've got a machine, it takes care of the whole thing. It's really something.
But it does take time.
It apparently takes longer than we thought, yes.
Well, you know, to truly get the finest sheen out of your awesomeness.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. A fine gloss. Awesomeness. Awesome gloss-ness.
Glossomeness.
I'm sorry. I apologize for all the puns. This is the pun cast. DrupalCon, Hungary. How do you pronounce it?
Szeged.
Go to DrupalCon.org to find out all about DrupalCon Szeged happening August in hungry.
And they picked a logo.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
It's a
little fish jumping on the water. It's cute.
Hang on. There's something fishy about that logo.
Are people still listening? Why would we do this to them? It's just not right. Really. Really not right.
The Lullabot assault. The insult assault.
It's really... I swear, folks, there's actually good information coming up in this podcast. Any other news, announcements, thoughts, comments? What you guys been up to? Modules? Did you write a module? Submit anything? Do anything cool?
I submitted some modules. Boy, it's been a while since I've said that. jQuery UI, which pulls in the jQuery UI libraries so that you can use it, and updated jQuery update to Drupal 6, and it now uses this cool trick that Jeff Robbins taught me, where you can hook in with the page pre-processed hooks, so you don't need to do that messy crap where you have to like actually copy over the core files anymore. It'll just work. You just enable it, and it works. It's
well,
lovely.
You're gonna get in trouble for saying it just works.
Come on.
It's a lot easier now, certainly. Yeah, it's using the new theming stuff, the amazing new theme system in Drupal 6 to make it easier to swap out jQuery for a newer jQuery. There was also someone, who was it? Oh, I know I saw it on where was it? It was on Rain City Studios. They wrote up this really great article about jQuery and jQuery update, and I should find it and mention it.
They've actually been doing I think it's the second part. It's turning into a whole series on basically jQuery, all things jQuery and Drupal. It's a good read. The first couple that are up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
the community really needs.
So Catherine Bailey at Rain City Studios has a series of articles called The Lowdown on jQuery in Drupal, which explains all the ups and downs and hassles and of getting updating jQuery and getting jQuery to do what you want it to do in Drupal. Good stuff. I highly recommend it. You could Google Rain City Studios jQuery or go to rainstudios.com/blogs-and-pods/Catherine-Bailey/the-lowdown-jQuery-Drupal or go to google.com.
You know, that link in our, you know,
podcast. Yeah, maybe we'll put it in the podcast notes. Podcast notes? What are those? Hey, let's talk about SimpleTest.
Hey, let's do talk about SimpleTest. All right, so people might have heard of some rumblings about, you know, Drupal 7 heading up to be like a QA-driven release where people are going to actually start, you know, writing patches to test the code and stuff like that. You might have heard of simple test before. You might have heard terms like unit testing before, but what does all that stuff mean? So basically, testing, or the equivalent of testing of what we're doing, is basically writing code to verify that the code that you've already written has worked. And that can be a couple of things. That can be like faking form submissions of a user actually clicking through your site and doing things, or that could be I have a function that when I pass this into it, it ought to do this with that, and you can write several tests just to basically test the crap out of a single function and make sure that it's working too. SimpleTest is a library in PHP that allows you to do that, and there's a Drupal module for it, which gives you kind of a nice UI to be able to select different groups of tests and run them. And what'll happen is it'll go through these sort of, it's sort of almost like a macro language, I guess, but it's written in PHP, where it goes through the steps that you've outlined for it to test, and then if it runs into any failures, it'll pop up a big red error, and that means that either your tests are broken or the code just broke. And this is useful for a few different reasons. First of all, I don't know about you, but every client site I've ever had has these weird requirements where it's like, okay, well, first someone has to like, if someone logs in from the such and such group, then they should be able to post this type of a node, but they can't post that type of a node and they shouldn't be able to see this. And if someone else logs in with this, they shouldn't be able to see blah, 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 blah. And if you test that yourself, you're going to end up basically wasting 30 minutes of your time per thing. Or, if you wrote a simple test for it that basically outlined the steps that they want to work, once those tests pass, you would know instantly if something broke. You know, of a module that you enabled that screwed up the node access or something like that. So, for one thing, it totally saves you time on things like that.
So it's sort of, you're writing these little, like, robot programs that sort of, like, do the process. Because, like, when you make a modification to a module or core or something like that, you tend to go in and you'll say, okay, well, this is supposed to affect, I don't know, the way that the login works. And so you go and you log in. But you test it by logging in as yourself or maybe logging in. Well, maybe that's not a good example, but you know, you're not.
Oh, that's a totally good example. Yeah. So you test it by logging in as yourself. You test it by logging in as like a peon user. And then you're like, great, it works. It's ready to go. But what you didn't realize is that thing you changed just to change that one thing on the login form actually screwed up the registration process. And you never got around to testing that because in your mind, you were only affecting the login form, right? But if you had tests written that already tested the registration process, and those tests were working before you wrote your code, then the second that you rerun the test and goes, bang, the registration process is broken, you know, oh crap, something I did messed up the registration process before you even go through the trouble of submitting a patch and having somebody review it and all that kind of stuff.
Right. So for people, I mean, this is obviously relatively techie stuff, but just to sort of bring it down, for people, who aren't necessarily module developers. I mean, it's a process of putting together tests to make it so that your modules are more bulletproof, right? I mean, there's certainly stuff in core. I mean, not in core, but well, there, I mean, there's probably some stuff in core, but there's stuff in, you know, certainly in the modules repository that doesn't quite work even as the developers had quite intended it. And until you get to some sort of an edge use case, you might not notice, but then you might be the one to notice when it doesn't work on your site. And so having these kinds of tests, would alert to those situations as people are working on them rather than, you know, 6 months later, because that's sort of how the development process works anyways, right? I mean, you make a module, and you commit the module to Drupal, and then you get involved with other things. And as much as you'd like to be focused on that and really support it, sometimes when someone posts a bug about it 6 months later, especially if it's something that you're not having actively on the site that you built it for, it's not going to get the development resources at that time that it might need, right?
Yeah, totally. And the other thing, too, is a lot of people do this sort of, you know, I'm just going to code something and put it out there and I'll roll a release and then people will test it and they'll tell me if anything's wrong with it and then I'll fix it kind of thing. And I mean, that sort of works, but that only really works if, your module has enough users to do that sort of stuff. A lot of modules are just sort of, I mean, if you're Earl Miles and you're writing views or panels, that approach can work really well because the second that you put a new release of views out there, you're going to have 300 people download it and test it and tell you if there are problems. But on the other hand, if you have a module that's pretty simple and just does like one thing and does it well, a lot of times it's hard to get that sort of mass QA community thing surrounding it. So it's a good thing to be able to to be able to basically not rely on other people and rely on yourself to do that kind of stuff. It also saves you a bunch of time because if you route your code once to work a certain way, and then every time that you change your code, potentially you've broken something else in the code. The only way to know that is either for you personally to step through everything that your code was supposed to do manually, which takes time, or screw that and just toss it out there and let the users suffer and figure out if there are bugs. And neither one of those is a good way to go. So if you go the simple test way, you basically get it working, write tests that verify that what you just did is working, and then every time that you are about to commit something, you run the test again, it will tell you instantly if something broke.
Right, right.
It's really freeing because, like, I don't know about you, but I've had these modules that have weird use cases, like revision moderation was what got me into the whole testing thing. Because that module is crazy, like all the stupid stuff with revisions and, you know, if someone's an author and they have this permission, they should have their revision stay there, but if not, it should be replaced with another one, and just all kinds of weird use cases. And I was not actively developing that enough to remember what all those crazy cases were every single time.
Yeah, I guess that things can sort of unravel quickly, you know. You
totally.
Think, oh, it's very simple. And then, oh, wait, well, there's just this one other situation. Oh, well, this is one other situation. I hadn't really thought about users using it that way. I don't know, but they right. certainly could. Yeah, yeah.
And the thing is, like, if you get a module like that, you're just terrified to touch anything because you're like, ah, crap. It's like, especially if it's like a security-related-ish module, you know, it's like, well, you know, I could add this patch, but then I have to go and test the whole thing and see if it broke anything, and I don't have time to do that. So it would be easier just for me not to touch the code because it's working now and it's good enough. Where if you've written tests to ensure that the code's working as you expect, it's kind of freeing in a way because you're like, oh, let me try refactoring this whole thing and see what happens. Hey, the test still passed. Great. Then I know that what I did worked. Or no, they don't pass. So, okay, well, I broke something. Let's see where the bug is.
Hmm.
So it really reduces your debugging time as well. And it kind of makes it fun almost once you do the initial work of getting these tests in place. Because it, you know, it's really just something that you can kind of do. And it also is helpful for other people because you're essentially documenting everything your module is supposed to do. You know, when I inherited BioModule, that was the first thing I did was I wrote tests for it because I couldn't figure out all the crazy stuff that module was doing. I mean, it's simple on the surface. It's like, oh, create a node for every user. But there's also other weird things. Like it's, you know, if this option's enabled, redirect to the user profile when I hit this and, you know, stuff like that. So just documenting that all out in code.
It's kind of awesome, right? That module's
kind of
right? awesome.
And it's like,
I don't know
really
who wrote that module, but it's kind of awesome.
Bio's just a bomb. But yeah,
and
I mean,
now it actually works because it's been tested. It was always awesome, just...
So Angie, me not, you know, being a simple test master like you are. So simple test is something that is.
Addie, don't test me. Okay.
So. Oh, didn't we say we weren't gonna?
Oh, did we? Darn it.
So a simple test. Like obviously we're talking about this in the context of Drupal. So like. So there's like Drupal core, there's Drupal contrib, and you know, we're talking about like running this like for my modules that I'm building. Can I use this for any code I write? Does it have to be a Drupal module? You know, is it just for like where does simple test that we're talking about, how's that like actually fit together with all the different kinds of code I might write?
Right. So simple test is a generic PHP library. It has nothing to do with Drupal per se. You can use simple test to test any PHP code you ever write. But simple test in the context of Drupal is referring to the simple test module and sort of Drupal's conventions for writing tests that use simple test. Drupal's version of simple test has like a little layer on top of simple test to let you do things like do a Drupal get request, which means go grab this URL, you know, like user/register or something like that. And Drupal post, which formats the, you know, to submit a form essentially in a way that Drupal expects it. And there's a few different helper functions like that, like create a node if your test requires there to be, you know, content that you can use and stuff like that. So when we talk about simple test in a general sense, it's a simple test library, which is at simpletest.org. But simple test in the context of Drupal means a simple test module, which is a part of Drupal core in 7 and in contrib in 6 and below, and that's at drupal.org/project/simple-test. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thanks.
Great.
So let's say I'm a module developer. I mean, what's actually involved in making a simple test? I mean, I am a module developer. And let's pretend for a moment that I'm a module developer. Let's also pretend that I wouldn't even know where to start in creating simple tests for any of my modules.
Just pretending.
Where would I start?
I don't know about you, but for me, the best place to start is to look at what an existing test is doing and kind of, you know, modify that to fit my needs.
Yeah, that's probably a great idea.
Yeah, so if you download the simple test module, which is again, at drupal.org/project/simple-test. And I'm sure this will be in our copious amount of notes we have at the bottom of this podcast that you're listening to right now. But if you go there and you download the module, and you also have to go to simpletest.org and download Simple Test Library. And then there's instructions for combining those two together. Then what you get is basically, then what you get is you get a nice screen that tells you all the tests that you can run, and you can check them off and say go, and it will come back and tell you what passed and what failed and that sort of stuff. So that's what you need to basically get started. And then what's involved in writing a test, if you go in the simple test directory and you go into the tests subdirectory, you'll see a bunch of something-something.test files. And those something-something.test files are all the tests that, and they're basically all the ones for Drupal core. I think there's one in there for image module and stuff
these
like
are,
that.
Wait, these are included with the simple test project module. With the simple test module or all the tests?
Because they're tests for Drupal itself.
Okay.
Yep. Huh. Yep. Simple test is just a library, kind of like jQuery's the library, you know?
Yep.
Like if you write code for Drupal, you're, you know, interfacing with, I've got jQuery on the mind for some reason, but
well, you
anyway.
Just wrote those jQuery modules.
Well, you helped me, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So then what we have, once you get into a .test file, what you'll find is objects. Oh my god, scary! I know. Okay, right. So
only
Drupal
scary
developers,
for us Drupal people.
Right. So Drupal people don't typically look at objects or know what classes are and stuff like that. But it's actually really, really simple because basically all you do is you take one, you copy and paste it, and you change things like aggregator test case to my module test case and stuff like that. And in a test file, there's basically three default functions. There's get info, and all that does is say, you know, this is a test for such and such a module, and here's a description, and here's a group it ought to be in. And then there's two functions called setup and teardown, and those functions let you do stuff like say I'm testing bio module. In order to test anything with bio module, I need a bio node to exist. So in my setup function, I might have it create a bio node, which then I can reference from any of the other tests that I'm doing.
You know, and how would
and
I
tear down that, the same
that?
I'm sorry.
How would I create a node from that? Like, is that like one of those things that Simple Test is the module?
Yeah, Simple Test module can totally do that. So Simple Test module has a function called Drupal create node, and so you give it a type and a title and a body and stuff. You call Drupal create node, and it just does it. And now you have a node that you can use in your test. And there's also other handy functions like Drupal create user and Drupal, I think there's Drupal create, I don't know, there's a whole bunch of them basically. For anything that you have to do, like a lot of times you have to create a user that has such and such permissions, what it'll do is it'll create a temporary role called simpletest_... and give it whatever permissions that you define. So you can create a couple of users to test, like, how does this module react with an administrator user? How does it react with an anonymous user or a logged-in user without permissions and stuff like that?
So are those, I'm assuming those are documented somewhere?
Yeah, we'll talk about documentation in a moment.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Just checking. Sorry. I don't want to break your flow, but I'm just
kidding. It's okay. I want to talk about the fun stuff first, then we'll get to the tragedy.
That's fun.
Oh, come on.
this is the fun stuff.
Oh, man. So setup and teardown lets you do stuff before and after any test. And then you just have a bunch of these function test something. So like test login form or test registration form or however you want to call them. And those are made up of little statements like, you know, this Drupal get some URL. So say, for example, I wanted to test the registration form. My test might read this Drupal get user register. This Drupal post username is Fred and password is blah. You know, and then you might say assert text user was registered. And what that would do is it would check to see if the text user is registered appeared on the screen. And if it did, that test would pass. And if it didn't, that test would fail. And you just basically go through and think of all the different conditions. And there's different kinds of assertions. There's like assert false, and there's assert true, and there's assert error, and assert all kinds of them, basically. But anything that you want to check on the page which verifies that the test that you just did succeeded, you do as an assertion. And then those will translate into passes and fails in the simple test screen.
Huh. And so I guess you're right. For me, I just need to look at some examples.
Yeah, it really is the easiest thing to do is just to open up one of the existing .test files, mm-hmm. Especially some of them from Drupal Core, because the ones from Drupal Core have had a few different eyes on them as opposed to the ones in the simple test contributed module. But yeah, basically it's very legible syntax. I mean, it's stuff like, you know, this Drupal post node add page and this assert not null node, which means, okay, the node was found because node object isn't null. This click link edit, so I'm going to edit the node. And now I'm going to assert that the URL I'm on is equal to this URL and stuff like that. So it, when you look through the source code, it's actually pretty legible, and it almost reads like documentation as you're going through.
Yeah, I didn't even know where to start. So there's like the simple test auto module, and then there's simple test unit testing is another project. And so but it's the simple it's drupal.org/project/simple-test.
Yeah, simple test is the one that 90% of developers need. Now, there's some other really cool things going on in the community, because if hopefully I've communicated the fact that writing tests, even though it's a little bit of work up front, greatly, you know, reduces the headaches that you have later on, and also just kind of makes it fun to develop again because you have this freedom that, oh God, I know that stuff works now. Hooray. So a lot of what we're trying to do is integrate that into the core Drupal core development process, and that's happening as of Drupal 7. But of course, not everybody's up to speed on the testing stuff, and you know, some people don't have the machines with, you know, fast enough processors to run the tests in a reasonable amount of time and stuff like that. So what some people are working on is this effort called testing.drupal.org. And what testing.drupal.org is it's an automated patch testing service. So it will go through any patch in the queue marked code needs review, and it'll check, A, does it apply? B, does it pass all of the existing tests? C, you know, just some other basic checks and stuff like that. And if it doesn't, it can automatically mark the patch code needs work, so that both the person who uploaded the patch knows, and so the reviewers who are reviewing the patches, of which they're in very short supply, basically, if there's a patch that still marked code needs review after all this is done, they know that, okay, it passes all the basic stuff, it's not going to totally hose my Drupal installation. Now I can try to focus on things like, okay, well, is this the best way to solve the problem they're trying to solve? And, you know, does this make sense? Is the coding style good? And that sort of stuff. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's sort of stalled at the moment because we still have failures in some of the core tests. So we could kind of segue into, like, how would one help kind of get it started in the whole testing thing, which is kind of what you asked before. If you go to drupal.org/simple-test, that's where the existing documentation is right now. And the existing documentation was originally written, I think, 2 years ago when the very first Summer of Code project around Simple Test was there. So a lot of it's out of date, unfortunately. The good news is that we're starting a big, you know, sort of effort in order to upgrade the documentation and get it in line and logical and stuff like that. That all is happening at groups.drupal.org/unit-testing, I should say. If you go there and you go to groups.drupal.org/node/11020, there's basically the beginnings of what the new simple test documentation is going to be, and that stuff is mostly right. We basically just have to move it over to the simple test URL eventually. So if you're new to testing and you don't quite understand how it works yet, you're a perfect candidate to go into those docs, read them through, see if they make any sense to you, and if they don't, leave comments or edit the page directly until they do. If you ask any questions about testing whatsoever in Pound Drupal, you'll probably be like jumped on by 500 people that really, really, really want to help you learn it.
Jump on in a good way.
In a good way, yeah. In a good way. A happy jump, not a mean,
helpful people.
Jump.
Happy, happy people.
Yeah,
happy people in the Drupal IRC room. That's good.
Yeah. Yep. So even if you don't fancy yourself a developer yet, the syntax for testing is actually pretty straightforward once you learn it. There's only a few different commands you really need to know. And again, a lot of this can just be copied and pasted from other tests, you know. If aggregators test already checks to see if a title looks this way, and you want to check if a title looks this way, you can just copy and paste those lines and change them a little bit, and then it works. So getting the existing core test to work, helping with testing.drupal.org, helping with documentation are the three sort of biggest things that we as a community really need in order to super launch into this whole testing stuff. And the end result will be better code for Drupal, more freedom to developers, and, you know, just sort of a whole sort of cultural philosophy change around quality assurance in the community to sort of value, you know, that whole test-driven development philosophy and, you know, making sure that, you know, that tests are written for code and code passes and this kind of thing. That move has happened a lot with coding standards. Like, it used to be Keybuild didn't care about coding standards, whatever. And with the advent of things like Coder Module and, you know, a bunch of nitpicky people like me that go to the patch queue and, you know, like, start complaining about it, you know, it's really become a philosophy where it's seen as a sign of a bad quality module now if they didn't even bother running it through Coder and making sure that it runs, you know, that it passes all of those tests and makes sure that it conforms to coding standards. So what we want, ideally, is for the Drupal community to now take the next step and have that same philosophy towards tests. Or if a module's uploaded and it doesn't have any tests, that's seen as like a, wait, what's wrong with you? Why didn't you upload tests with your thing? Are you sure you want to just waste all your own time testing that thing all the time? No, you know. And we really want to sort of translate the whole Drupal culture around embracing testing, because, you know, it's a little rocky to start out with, but once you get the hang of it, it's so awesome. And if you're looking for like a bazillion karma points in a very short period of time, testing and documentation are probably the two biggest ways to do that. And testing needs documentation, so that would be like
that's like double extra points.
Yeah, man, that's like that's like a plus four sort of something. Anyway, yeah.
Ah, cool. Yep. So does simple test like test other things? I mean, would it test like if something was a speed improvement or I'm trying to think other things that it might test, like.
Yeah, mostly tests like error conditions, you know, like just to make sure that if you get a bug once and you write a test to make sure that that bug's fixed, you never get that bug again. That's mostly what simple test
is. So it doesn't like run through Apache and the database, or I guess it might use the database.
Do that, but you definitely wouldn't want to benchmark with simple test, because simple test has a lot of overhead involved just getting simple test running.
Right. Yep.
So, you know,
so there's other tools for benchmarking.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a really great tool for benchmarking. There's some documentation on benchmarking using Apache Bench and some other things. I'll post the URL in the notes because I don't know it off the top of my head. But yeah, simple test is more for error conditions because it's not speedy. It's definitely not speedy. It takes a while for things to run. But there's a command line version of the module, so you can run tests from the command line if you want to start that and then go have a coffee and then come back. And it's not that bad usually, but to run all the tests, it does take a while. But if you know you're working on blog module and you just want to check and see if blog module still works, you know, it's totally fine for that.
Cool. Anything else about simple test and that whole thing? I mean, it's obviously really sort of techie stuff, but we wanted to sort of shine a light on this because it's really important. It's becoming a focus of the Drupal community. But I think while it's a focus, I think there's still a majority of people who are kind of like myself, sort of a little bit befuddled by it. And so I want to get unfuddled.
There's unfuddled. Yeah, there's still a few rocky areas, but Jimmy Barry in particular has been putting so much time into really cleaning this up and trying to make it as easy as possible for new developers to kind of jump in. And the sixth version of Simple Test and the Drupal 7 version both use the same syntax now. So if you learn it on one, you can learn it on the other as well. That was a big goal that we had, and that patch just got committed this week. So it's still a little bit. You know, there's some rough areas here and there, and it's a little rocky, but, you know, it's a great place to jump in, especially if you don't even need to know much development. If you know how to write, like, a couple lines of PHP and you know how to read PHP enough to kind of understand what's going on, you know enough to write a test, typically.
Really? You think it's that simple?
I do.
Wow. All right. Maybe I can get my head around this after all.
Yeah, no. I mean, again, it's like there's all kinds of weird class exception, blah, 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 and simple test library, but you don't have to care about any of that because the only thing that you're doing is you're just writing a test. And basically, that's just take an existing test, copy, paste it, modify it, you're done.
All right. I'll do it.
Now, someone's going to come in on the podcast and tell me how wrong I am. But really, this is so simple that I can figure it out, okay? So it's got to be simple.
Okay, don't even go there. Don't even.
James, are you still around? Are you going to write some simple tests?
I have a very, very long list of simple tests I should have written already.
Oh. Yeah. So if anybody wants to help James out.
Yes, I need more pings in IRC, please.
No, James, just post it on our podcast notes and it'll be taken care of.
That's the simple test James should have written. Yeah, I mean, there are some interesting things. So one of the big challenges is, because essentially, I mean, I don't know, how I've always thought of test frameworks like simple test and ones like it or test-driven development in general is, you know, simulating things that will happen out in the real world. And that's why it's so beneficial, especially in something like Drupal, where, you know, the typical Drupal site has, you know, maybe 50 modules, and my set of 50 is different from your set of 50. And when you're writing a module, you know, there's just no way to try to take into account how many, you know, different permutations of modules and what might or might not interfere with each other, or what, you know, what the ramifications could be. So having tests for things that may happen makes it real easy to spot when stuff like that's going to happen. But one of the really tricky things, so most of my code in core right now has to do with interacting with systems that aren't other Drupal modules. They're other things entirely. They're other websites or other services. So things like, OpenID is the big one, right, where, you know, to actually test how OpenID works, you know, the standard flow actually goes off and goes to another website for a while and then comes back. So simulating stuff like that can be a bit more challenging. So,
yeah, that's definitely true. There are certain ways you can get around that. Like you could save a local copy of the XML output or whatever that you're expecting and validate against that. But it's not ideal for sure because you're not really simulating the full thing. That would be a great discussion to move to groups.drupal.org/unit-testing and get some of the people who are really up on the whole unit testing thing to know or to give you a hint on how that works, because that's a little bit above my pay grade right at the moment.
Did you hear that, Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff.
What'd you say?
I didn't mean that.
Well, let's just, you know, I think this has been a very dense podcast. So unlike, when we first started doing these podcasts, we thought, they'll be a half an hour each. And they always end up being like an hour and a half. So I don't feel so bad about calling it a podcast right there. I think we've got a good 45-minute podcast-ish.
I think we've blown some people's minds
off. Your mind, baby.
Mission accomplished.
Come back next week and we'll be talking about ponies.
Yes. Yeah, our next podcast we'll do something a little bit less, techie. Maybe we'll do next week's podcast will be about, you know, how to click on web pages.
Or favorite Drupal t-shirts.
James, you just want to bring out your collection, don't you?
I do.
I got a great Drupal t-shirt from Gordon Studios. You know what it says on it? Node Monkey.
I know because I'm wearing it right now.
And actually, you know what? We have two of those shirts, which will be at the Toronto workshop. So anybody who signs up, we'll have two to give away at the workshop.
Oh, to give away.
Yeah, because
giving away other people's swag.
Well, there it is. Boy, if I've ever heard a great reason to go to the workshop.
Hey, but dude, it says Node Monkey on
it. Come on. Right on. But,
you know?
They're pretty awesome t-shirts.
Yeah, I have to say, my girlfriend, she was sort of like, I was like, you want one? She's like, it says Node Monkey. I'm like, right, okay.
Yeah, I guess maybe. Inside joke. Well, okay, there you go. That's a podcast. We'll see you on the next podcast. Ooh, the next one's going to be 60. Ooh, it's going to be exciting. We'll have something. We'll have cake and champagne.
Okay.
Cake and champagne.
Remember? Oh, no, never mind.
Okay, bye, everybody.
Wrap it up. Bye.
Bye-bye.